The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Nikki Thunder of KCHE Radio in Cherokee and Rick Patry of the Eldora newspapers. Nikki, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Can you talk about the first Finance Committee hearing of this year?
Probably be several hearings along this line. A short answer to your question, if you want a longer answer, tell me. But one of the things where I feel that we can get a very good and early Republican-Democrat cooperation is to reduce prescription drug prices. So we're having a hearing on that issue next Tuesday, I believe. And so that's what we're up to, and we'll probably have more hearings, and we have to sit down with the Democrats. I have to sit down with Republicans because there's a lot of Republicans don't agree with some of the things that I'm trying to do. But you need to know, not only because I believe this is an important issue, but one of the reasons I believe it's an important issue because it comes up almost at every one of my county meetings. Rick at Eldora.
Senator, I don't follow politics much, but I do know that there's two big votes coming up today. And I was just looking for a little comment on that. And then I was going to ask earlier, I remember the 1960s, and seemed a lot more chaotic than this, and the issues seemed a lot bigger. But yet the government never kind of seized up this way. I just wondered if what do you think has changed since then?
Division in America. That's reflected in the Congress, because Congress is supposed to be a representative of the grassroots. And because of several things that have changed in the last 30 years, you would take us back 50 years, but let's just say maybe the last 25 years. Prior to that, we had NBC, ABC, CBS controlling most of the news and a couple big newspapers. Just think what you have now. You've got several different cable channels that have all different points of view. You have social networking, so every extremist and every moderate group can get their opinion out. And you have more division ideologically at the grassroots, and that's reflected in Congress. And then when you have people, particularly in the House of Representatives, that come from either very safe Republican districts or very safe Democrat districts, you don't have those individuals trying to find middle ground, and consequently, where you would have some compromise before you even sit down across the table. It's come to a point now where the president's been sitting in the White House since December the 22nd, waiting for somebody to come and negotiate with him, and nobody will come and negotiate with him. And if you aren't even talking, how do you get government up and running again? And that's why when you asked me a little bit about what I might do today, I think I'm going to wait until after we get done with our caucus to give you a final answer, because I ought to listen to everybody's point of view or even express my point of view. But I want to move this process along. And President Trump's plan doesn't include everything that I want. It surely isn't perfect, but it's a serious effort to reopen government, and it's the only serious effort that there is where there's middle ground. Democrats would say, well, this isn't enough. Well, then sit down with President Trump and say, what is enough? You're not going to get very good faith negotiation when somebody says not $1 for wall, when those very same people have voted for a wall in the past. And if there's something immoral about a wall, well, why wasn't it immoral when you voted for it before? So we just got to sit down and talk. And I'm going to wait to announce my vote when I actually cast it. But I'm inclined to move this process along. Back to Nikki.
Thank you. Here in Northwest Iowa, there are many people concerned about Congressman King losing his committees and assignments. Can you tell us your thoughts on that?
Well, it's not the first time it's happened in the House of Representatives. Probably has happened to both Republicans and Democrats, and I can comment on it, but I'm not going to make a judgment about what the House of Representatives does, because I think comity demands that I not question them. And so I think it'd be that he will find himself in the same position that I find myself in when I'm not on a committee, but there's Iowa interests, let's say in transportation. So I have to go to the Transportation Committee, and talk to the chairman and try to get Iowa's considerations taken into consideration. I don't have to do that on the Finance Committee, the Budget Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and the Agriculture Committee because I'm a member of it. So it'll just make the congressman's job of representing his people a little more difficult when he's not on committees than if he was on. I would be derelict if I didn't give you my opinion about the issue of white supremacy, and that is that I think everybody's created equal in America, and regardless of the color of your skin, one group of people isn't more supreme over the other, and we're all God's people, and we ought to be recognized for the equality that God demands. Rick?
I wondered just in general of how the program has been received, kind of mitigate the tariff losses. And in general, just we kind of, what do you get as a status report on trade negotiations now?
Yeah. Okay. The first part of your question is that it's been well received by farmers, but farmers see it as a handout and they'd rather have the price high because of the marketplace and to be able to trade and the necessity of trade. That's what I hear from farmers. I haven't heard it lately, but that's what I heard before this program was instituted. And I think farmers are applying for it because they figure that the price is down through no fault of their own. I think the price would be low also, though, because we have such overproduction of soybeans and grain generally. And on negotiations, I'll just talk about negotiations with China because they're really the only ones that are going on in any hotly way right now. And I feel very positive about it from two standpoints. One, because it's visibly positive because the guy in charge of these negotiations for China coming over here January 30th, and I don't think he'd be coming if there wasn't some chance of making progress, plus the fact that their economy is hurting. And I'm glad because Iowa's trade is vital to Iowa agriculture. And that brings me to my new chairmanship, or assuming the chairmanship again after 12 years of the Finance Committee, because that committee has jurisdiction of trade, and I'm going to be focusing on trade. Nikki?
Could you go ahead and give us an update where we're standing on the current partial shutdown?
We're going to have a vote at two votes at 2:30 today. They're going to take 60 votes. I hope they pass. You heard me tell Rick that I'm leaning towards that. I'm going to make that determination after our Republican caucus because I want to listen to my colleagues. And the fact is that just common sense tells me we need to reopen government. In fact, I can tell you I'm embarrassed to even talk to you about it because it costs money to shut down government, costs money to open up government. And we ought to be functioning. And that's why I support the Portman bill that would have what you call an automatic continuing resolution. So when September 30th comes and you don't have all the appropriation bills passed, government continues to function at the level of expenditure in the previous fiscal year until you get new appropriation bills passed. Last question will come from Rick.
In light of the last tax cut that we had a year or so ago, what do you pursue in terms of tax policy here going down the road as far as anything new?
I think Democrats and House representatives are going to try to undo or rewrite part of that tax bill to raise taxes on corporations and individuals. I think that would make us very uncompetitive with our international competition in a global economy. And so that's not going to happen under my chairmanship of the Senate Finance Committee. But I think that there's a real bipartisan effort to do several things. One would be to pass what we call extenders. And one example of 26 extenders that have sunsetted is the biodiesel tax credit that's very important to Iowa. Another example would be some IRS restructuring. Another one would be some incentives for retirement savings, things like that, I think we can have a bipartisan agreement on.
Thank you, Nikki and Rick, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.